Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Casual KO. I finally know how Alex feels. I'm up. I got the first picks on the night. Now, of course, Alex isn't here. Who knows what he's doing? Hopefully he's okay. So, you know, Jared, you know him a lot better than me. It sounds like this is something he just kind of does every once in a while, right? Just kind of goes.
Yeah, random.
Well, maybe he's ashamed, as he should be, for picking Cheeto. He's not here to defend himself. I'll bash on him. You know what I mean? You don't
have. Oh, yeah.
But I will. Him and anyone that was trying to sell you on Cheeto when, like, you know, these guys are acting like they know something. And they didn't, you know. Cheeto was a punching bag. He threw approximately 2 strikes over 25 minutes. I think he was outstruck by 4,054 punches. I think those were the actual numbers there on ESPN. So his transformation from round 1 to the end of round 5 was wild. He looked like a different human being, Cheeto, that is. What do you think?
Yeah, dude, he got tagged up. I mean, I know he's a slow starter and you expect him to drop those first couple rounds, but he dropped every fucking round. I mean,
he dropped one round by 2 points.
Yeah, right. I mean, yeah, I don't know if I scored it a 10-8, but either way, fucking, he got his ass kicked and it wasn't even remotely close. He maybe had landed that one body shot on O'Malley, and that's all any Cheeto fan's going to harp on is that. But I'm going to bag on Alex too, for he was so goddamn confident in Cheeto, and he was real confident in Song Yadong too, saying he's going to knock out Piotr Jan.
Yeah.
I wish he was here to defend himself, but I'm going to bag on him anyways.
We were both on Song, correct? Or I'm sorry, we were both on Jan. Yeah, he was on Song. We were both on Jan by decision. That's one of our 100%. I'll give you some serious props here, man. I told you that I would if you were to hit this. Michelle Pereira, round 1 sub. I said, dude, that's a wild, crazy, stupid pick. And if you end up hitting that, because you were fairly confident on it, you're like, it's probably not going to happen, but that's what I'm betting. I said that I was going to give you some serious credit if that hit. And it hit, and it looked like that was the only bet to take from second one. I mean, Michal looked like he had nothing for Michelle. When I saw Michelle coming out dancing like Israel Adesanya, doing the same copy and paste dancing, I thought that was super lame, and I'm like, oh, dude, I'm feeling good about my Michal bet right now. Didn't work out. So congratulations, dude. That was a bold call here live on the show, and you hit it in spades, man. So, like, what was that like watching that?
Oh, dude, it felt so good to come out with a pick that was so ridiculous and have it go step for step exactly that way. But, I mean, it was just one of those ones, man. You had a feeling. I'm like, you know, these guys are both so solid on the feet, but one of them really struggles on the ground. And I know this dude has some grappling in his back pocket. Not for a second did I expect him to come out there and start shooting takedowns. Expected him to clip him and jump on an opportunity, and that's exactly how it went. It felt great, dude. I wish I put more money on it. You know, I put $10 on it, but it was plus $1,400, so it paid out $150.
Nice.
Off $10, it's a pretty good little deal.
That's absolutely good. Those are the kind of bets that I'd like to take, man. And you know, I went 9-5 on the night. You and Alex both went 7-7 on the night. This is why I want to do a Friday show. Because I would have actually been 11-3, right? 12, 13, 40. Yeah, I would have been 11-3 because I told you that I was leaning Wood and I was also leaning MVP, or somebody. Who was it? Was it MVP? I forget who.
I know it was Wood. I can't remember who the other one was.
It was Wood and MVP. Holland was one of the guys that I picked on the show. It was Wood and MVP. MVP just made it look easy. Wood kind of getting dominated the whole fight and then just really came back in that third round. The other couple rounds were close, and that spinning back fest dropped Moroz. It was great, man. Just a solid card all around. Gamrot coming out, doing what he does, getting dropped and then just, you know, grappling heavy. And I know that you took for the first time, you know, I don't know if you've ever done it before, but you created a little fantasy lineup that did well. You had to have cashed a little bit at least.
Yeah, it was the first fantasy lineup I ever did. And like the thought process was like, okay, who's going to go to decision and who's going to rack up some control time? So that was kind of the thought process with that. I mean, for the first fantasy I ever did, it wasn't bad. Out of 1,200 people, I came in 28th place.
Yeah,
So
so
I was happy with it.
you
Yeah, I made
captured
a few
money.
bucks.
Yeah, it's not like when you're in those kinds of things, you might have doubled your money or something like that, maybe tripled your money. But when you get in there and you get a little more comfortable with how the process works, dude, it's so fun to throw down like, 5 or 10 lineups and play some of those long shot ones where it's like $3 can get you 150,000, you know what I mean? So it's just every once in a while I'll throw a couple lineups in there. But fun card. I say we just move right in to this really low level card. I mean, coming off a high one, we're going into something kind of boring. I will say, dude, Dustin Poirier did it for me. You know what I mean? This is my favorite fighter in the world. It came in, dude. The signed sticker
Oh, nice.
with the three hot sauces, that Creole Maples fire. And then I was hoping Alex would be here too, man. Jarzynho Rozenstruik helping me last week. I bought a card
Hell yeah.
signed, memorabilia also. I mean, this was like $8 for this card because no one really likes Jarzynho. But this dude gave me the most profitable weekend of the year so far for me. So I always like to support these dudes and buy their
Yeah.
cards. But yeah, man, fun last couple of weeks. And let's hope that we keep this momentum up. I say, dude, since it's just two of us, man, we'll alternate back and forth. I'll start off and we'll go back and forth here. I don't think Alex is going to be popping in, so I'm going to share my screen. I'll take the first fight of the night. According to Tapology, I don't know if this is going to change or not. I've heard different lineups and whatnot, but you got Chad and Heliger versus Charlampos Gregorio. Gregorio, I think, coming off the Contender Series, but Chad and Heliger is Canadian. I don't need to beat too much around the bush. I know that Ann Heliger is a popular dog this week, but I'm gonna be on what sounds like a Greek dude. So yeah, Cyprus. I'll take Gregorio. Not a scientific play. I know that he's a hard hitter and he did well in his Contender Series matchup. I think he won the fight by decision. Want to double check here if that's the case. Oh no, he actually beat Cameron Smotherman, and I think he was not favored to win that fight either. Let's double check. Yeah, he was an underdog in that fight. Cameron Smotherman, a lot of people were on this dude. I remember this now. He's a young kid. His nickname's the Babyface Killer. A lot of cappers and whatnot were thinking that he was marketable. And this is a soft matchup for Cameron Smotherman. But he goes in there, he does the thing, and did a great job, man. As an underdog, he cashed. Now he's favored here as his first ever UFC fight. I just think Canadian men are very soft. And even if they're MMA fighters, I'm going to stick with that on this. I think that Gregorio gets it done. I think that he might get a knockout in round one. Just again, my confidence in Canadian men is zero. Where are you at on this one?
I mean, I get where you're at with the Canadian men being soft, but Ann Heliger has never been KO'd before. Gregorio, he's not bad. His striking's pretty solid. I like the kicks. He throws a lot of spinning shit, which I'm not a huge fan of, but it seems to work for him. His strength of schedule, of course, man, it's weak, like most of these Contender Series guys. But I was watching him fight a guy that was 6-5 and then a guy that was 2-5. And he was able to finish both guys, but he slowed down on the way there. So and he's fighting low level guys, and I'm already questioning your gas tank. It's a little bit of a red flag. And Heliger, he's fucking not good, but he's not terrible. I mean, he's at least had three UFC fights, and they have all been close fights, regardless if he got finished by Jose Johnson. His fights have been close, man. This dude, he's pretty tough. He knows how to hang in there. He does a lot of feints. He got some solid power. One thing I don't love about him is he has a pretty wide stance at times, and I don't think I've ever seen this dude check a kick. And you already know Gregorio is going to be kicking often. Yeah, it's actually a tough fight, man, because I know Ann Heliger is going to make it close. And I'm going to go against my better judgment here. I'm going to take the Canadian man to wear down Gregorio and find a KO in the third round. Because, I know he's 37 years old. He's 12-7. That's not too appealing of a record, but I'm not going to pretend Gregorio is a young up and comer. This guy's 31. He's making his debut. And like a lot of these contender series guys that get a quick knockout and they come into the UFC around -200, they fail at the door. So I'm going to
Right.
pull the contender series fade. I'll take Ann Heliger. Not the most confident pick on the card, but I don't feel bad about it.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. I know that this is kind of a toss-up, but the only guy that Chad Anhelliger has beat in the UFC is 0-2, and that's this Jesse Strader, who, to be honest, I haven't even heard of. So, I'll take a risk. I know that the Contender Series fade hits a lot of the time, but saved you a good one here for the second fight of the night: Corey McKenna versus Jacqueline Amorim. Jacqueline Amorim. Very attractive. Corey McKenna,
He
not so
is.
much. But what do you got here with this one?
Yeah, so I'm really, really confident in this one. I'm all over Corey McKenna. She's actually at a 9.5 inch reach disadvantage in this fight. Typically, that's something that I would be concerned about, but against a girl like Amorim, this girl's striking is trash, in my opinion. She has great jiu-jitsu. I mean, like, world class. She's a black belt. She's really, really good on the ground, but just on the feet, I don't see it. In that Sam Hughes fight, Stank was laying the beating on her, man. This girl wanted to quit. She looked like she didn't want to be in there. And in that fight, I saw a quitter in her. And they tossed her a very easy win against Montserrat, who I don't rate her very high at all. And she's like 5 feet tall. Amorim, I don't think very high of this girl at all. Bottom line is, if you can't strike, I can't take you. Corey McKenna, the girl's well-rounded, and she seems to be improving from fight to fight. She first came in and she was kind of grapple heavy, kind of boring. I wasn't, much of a fan. But since that Elise Reed fight, her striking's really come together. She's only 24 years old. She's clearly improving. She's got a ton of room to grow. I'm all over McKenna here. Give me McKenna by decision.
Yeah, I feel the exact same way you do, man. It's just like I hear everybody. I haven't heard one person on the Jacqueline Amorim side. And I know that a smart bet here, if you were on the Amorim side, it would be finish only for Amorim because, she does have some power. She's going to be the taller girl, if I'm not mistaken. No, same size. But yeah, this girl's got T-Rex arms in Corey McKenna. Like she does not have the reach, and that's the way that she wins. This fight is by striking. So that's going to be an interesting thing. But Amorim should guess. I think that she probably wins round one. Amorim, right? And then Corey McKenna, if you're going for a decision, Corey McKenna is going to come through in round two and three. So I'm on that same side as you, man, Corey, by decision. But I don't feel good about it. I know that you're very confident on that. But I think people are kind of counting Amorim out. She's the more marketable one, too, man. But I mean, there's countless fighters from Brazil, not too many from Wales. So maybe they could build off that UK market, which is pretty rabid. Now, this next fight, I have one of these fighters parlayed up with another fighter. I've got two big parlays. My units, I know we don't really talk units here because I think it's kind of stupid, but just to put it into perspective for people, my units are $20, right? So a max bet in that theory would be $100. I don't like to go too crazy. You guys know my style of betting. It's kind of like it's like your Michelle round one sub. Like that's the kind of shit that I like to do, where I'm only putting down a little bit, but I have a lot that I can win. And that's how Vegas was built. That's not the most educated way to bet. So I'm trying to kind of change it up here just to see what works for me this year. I've got 2 5-unit bets, so 2 $100 bets that are parlayed up so far before we actually get real close. And I'll tell you right now, between Josh Koulibaly and Danny Silva, I have Josh Koulibaly in one of those two-leg parlays. I've got 2 2-leg parlays on this card so far. Reason I'm taking Josh Koulibaly, I think he just has more ways to win. He's been in here longer. Danny Silva, I know he's a hard hitter. Once he gets you up against the cage, he's going to be able to do some shit. But I think Koulibaly's savvy enough. I just have this feeling about Koulibaly in this matchup, to be honest. It's not the most scientific, but I'll take Koulibaly probably by decision. And I'm wondering where you think about that because I can still cash this thing out. It's still sitting there at none of the money has come out of it. I can cash it out, get 100% of my money back. Do you think Cooley Bao is parlayable? Give me your opinion on this fight.
Yeah, I'm on the same page as you. I like Coulibal here. And now that being said, I do like Danny Silva. This guy's pretty good, man. He's durable. He's shown a lot of toughness leading up to the UFC. His contender series fight was probably the best contender series fight I've ever seen. Like, these guys just stood in the pocket and just exchanged, man. It was wild. This dude's really tough. But this fight, it's kind of like boxing being Silva and Muay Thai being Cal Coulibal. One thing I don't love about Coulibal is at times he's a little low volume, but I think it's kind of he's trying to conserve energy for that later, the later rounds. But he's had a way better strength schedule. You look at the guys Coulibal's fought in the UFC. This dude has not taken an easy path, and he has looked pretty decent along the way, man. This guy is tough. And as much as I like Danny Silva, he's a step down from the guys Coulibal has been fighting. So I'm gonna side with Coulibal, but I'm not confident he gets Silva out of there just because of how tough this guy is. So I think you'll probably be sweating a bit, but I think Coulibal by decision is with how this fight's gonna go.
Yeah, that's exactly what I have. Okay, cool. Well, wish we had a third opinion on this one, but hey, I
Actually,
think.
speaking of it, he just texted me. Yo, my bad. I forgot all about it. I thought today was Monday. I'm at the casino.
Well, at least he's out there working, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, well, so yeah, Coulibal, seems to be a fairly confident pick for both of us. I think, in my opinion, he's one of the safer plays on the card. Kind of like the way that you feel about McKenna, it sounds like. But I don't know if are you parlaying McKenna up?
Yeah, I'll give a little spoiler. She is on the whale bet.
Okay. Yeah,
The
man.
whale bets have been crushing, by the way.
Yeah, they have been. Yeah, you've been doing nice with that. So this is yours then, Thiago Moises versus Mitch Ramirez. The fight stalker, dude. Do you get that reference? You know what that reference?
I don't get that reference.
So there was a I don't know his name. Let me see what it is. It was a serial killer named the Night Stalker. And serial killer Ramirez. I'm gonna look this up just real quick. Richard Ramirez. And I don't know if you've seen this guy before, but he
I've
has.
definitely seen that face before.
Yeah, he's got like a pentagram. Yeah, dude, this is like a really popular picture, if you can see him here. He's got a pentagram
Yeah.
tattooed on his hand and shit. So that was the Night Stalker. And with this dude having the last name Ramirez, he's now the Fight Stalker. I love the nickname, dude. I think it's
That
great.
is hilarious.
Yeah, man. So Mitch Ramirez, the Fight Stalker, not to be confused with Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker, ate some people, did some horrible things. But yeah, Mitch Ramirez coming in here fighting a game, Thiago Moises, a veteran. What's your thoughts on this matchup?
Yeah, Mitch Ramirez, he's a dude, first round, super dangerous. After that, he's gonna slow down. He still possesses danger, but I mean, he's on short notice here, so the cardio, you gotta question it a little bit. And he's just not very technical. He's a brawler. He throws a lot of wild hooks. He's just looking for that big knockout. Thiago Moises, 11 fights into the UFC, you should know how to deal with an aggressive debuter. I don't really think Moises has any trouble here. He has a clear path to victory on the ground. I think he's going to take it. Even on the feet, I mean, he's more technical. He's faster. I just think he's a complete fighter, man. He's well-rounded. He's a more proven guy. This should, maybe aside from the first 60 seconds, this should be one-way traffic for Moises. So I'm going to say he gets a submission in the second round once Ramirez slows down a little bit.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom, noom.com and check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Okay. Yeah, I'm along the same lines. I'm not going to add too much because I haven't done too much research on this fight. I just know Ramirez kind of coming up. I don't even think he really deserved this spot. He lost to Prates. Prates, a good fighter, though. Got pushed back to LFA. They needed somebody. Ramirez also short notice, too. Pretty short notice for him. So I will actually go sub round three for Moises. I'm right there with you, but I give Ramirez a little more credit. He's decent. And he is dangerous in the pocket, man. He's very dangerous. So we'll see. He's got a chance to win, but sub-round three sounds good to me. Sub-round two sounds great, too, though. That seems to be his path to victory here in Moises as a sub. So sub's that safe bet. Now, the fifth fight of the night, Oday Osborne, who I have not been impressed with, versus Jafel Filho, part of a parlay as well. Not the same parlay. I've got a different parlay. I have Jafel Filho getting this done, and I think that he potentially gets a – I'm trying to swat this fly away. It's flying in my face. Potentially a guillotine, something – some kind of sub against Osborne. Osborne, I don't know how you feel about him, man. I don't think he's that good. I don't think he's really UFC caliber in my opinion. Jafel Filho, man, put – what's his fucking name? Makhachev, in the worst spot that we've ever seen him in. He beat him. But, you know, at the end of the day, he really didn't. But, I mean, anybody else taps to that. He had him. I had Jafel Filho in that fight as well. And I was very, very excited when I saw that. Because I've just never been a fan of Makhachev, man. I think that he's kind of overrated. There's the people from, like, MMA Fighting, that podcast, that are huge fans of him. And these dudes are such betas. I don't know if you remember in Canada when there was that really nasally reporter that was sitting there talking about like trans rights to Sean Strickland and saying like,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's one of the MMA fighting guys. And they're huge fans of Makhachev. So anyone that they think is a good fighter, I'm always like, fuck this dude. He's a bitch. You know what I mean? Makhachev, obviously a good fighter, but he always, you know, he makes excuses when he has bad performances and whatnot. That's one thing I'll say about Benoit Saint-Denis. He had staph infection and he didn't even mention it until way later. So
yeah, you can't do that though. You can't mention it after the fight. You know what I mean? Like here's the thing. When he was putting it on Poirier that first round, if he knocked out Poirier, we would have never heard him say shit about the antibiotics or nothing. But because he lost, now you want to bring it up? Can't do that.
I think that in his victory speech, he would have said, I had staph infection, so I had to get this done first round. I mean, he's a pretty stand-up dude, I think. And I hate French people. French people are assholes. But, I mean, Dustin Poirier has French roots, so I'm kind of torn there. French people are dicks, dude. And I actually really like Benoit Saint-Denis. I kind of like Ciryl Gane. I'm not a big fan of Francis Ngannou. But, like, you know, I don't know. I think he's a stand-up guy. I think we would have heard about it.
Kind of interesting. I don't know, man. I just don't like excuses. Just take the L.
Sure. Yeah, it might have been more classy for Benoit to just be like, hey, Dustin was the better man that night. And he was. I love that line when Joe Rogan was like, you're the man, Dustin Poirier. And he's like, I'm just a man, Joe.
That was awesome.
That's why I fucking love that dude, man. But anyway, back to this. Jafel Filho, I think he gets a sub in round two or three. Gun in the head, give me round two. Where are you at?
Yeah, Filho, I mean, BJJ nerd, that's for sure. But I mean, he's got some decent striking on him for sure. And one way or the other, he's going to get this to the ground. Even if that takes spamming takedown after takedown after takedown, he's going to get it down there. And honestly, against Osborne, it might just take one takedown. Odie's a dude, like his striking's good. He likes to fight at range and he does good there, man. Like he has some explosive flying knees, some nice high kicks. On the feet, he almost has like a Phil Hawes complex where he has a ton of skill, but he just always seems to find a way to lose. I mean, the guys he is losing to, they're not bad at all. But he's 4-4 in the UFC. He's been 50-50. That's unreliable. He's probably going to get submitted here. I mean, that is his biggest weakness, is Filho's biggest strength. So you have to side with Filo by sub. I just think it's one of these ones. Ode is going to be winning this fight all the way up until he gets finished. So I'm going to take Filo by sub. You know what? I'll call it round one. I bet you Ode looks good for the first half round, and then he just finds a way to get submitted.
Yeah. Speaking of finding ways to get shit done or lose things, what do you think about the JDM versus Shavkat fight?
I think that was a great call out. Definitely want to see that fight. I mean, I honestly, dude, it's tough because you would think Shavkat just because of his grappling, but at the same time, it's like Shavkat's one of these guys. You know, you can't deny the guy's great. He's undefeated for a reason. But I mean, and this is no knock on Jeff Neal, but he was getting his head pinged around by Jeff Neal. And Jeff Neal isn't the sharpest striker. He's a hard hitter, but he's not super technically sound.
His boxing is very good, man.
A
Jeff.
guy like JDM is gonna fucking pick Shavkat apart on the feet. But Gilbert Burns showed a bunch of weakness at JDM on the ground. So yeah, that's a very tough fight.
Yeah, man. The reason I ask you is because I feel like Shavkat finds a way to make every fight close. I mean, he's been rocked in every fight that he's ever been in. And
Yeah.
KDM finds a way to win fights. He just finds a way to win. He would have lost that fight if he didn't catch Gilbert Burns with that knee, and then some. Did he submit him? No.
No, I knocked him out and it fucking broke my heart too.
Was it a TKO?
Yeah.
No, he threw that nasty knee.
Yeah, dude, it's actually Gilbert Burns was the only bet that I lost on last week. And
Really?
yeah, I tried to pick and choose my spots really well, and he was the one guy on the steamer that put it to bed. But oh, it hurts so much worse when you're up two rounds and your guy gets finished in the third.
Well, he was crying, man, and he doesn't seem like a crier. Like
Ah, he only cries when he loses. I don't know. I
he's
don't
like
like that.
a Poirier in that way, because Dustin cries when he
Yeah.
loses too.
Yes.
I
Yes.
can't hate on him though. Man, dude, I feel like I would if I was at that level and I thought that I was like I had a chance at the title and then I lost, I'd probably cry. You know what I mean? Like that's. There's a lot of endorphins going, and at that level, like I know you've fought before, but not at the UFC level, right?
Of
So
course.
after you've put all this fucking effort into it, and you feel like you're close, and I mean, in Dustin Poirier's case, he's been right there so many times, and then in Gilbert Burns' case, he knows he's getting older, and it's like with all those emotions, like, have you ever thrown up after a fight?
When I was a kid, I threw up after sparring, but it was just because I got hit a fucking lot.
Yeah, like I've thrown up almost every time after I've been in like a street fight. Like,
Really?
yeah, it's a weird thing. It's just because of all the endorphins. It's like a adrenaline dump, you know? And it was kind of like a common thing out here where we fucking throw up like all the time after we fight. Maybe it's because it's hot as shit, but yeah, it's a weird thing, man. So I just get the idea of crying, and I don't take anything away from these dudes. Now, did you do that one? No, I did that one. You were up. And I got something in the mail today that made me kind of pick a side in this fight. Josiane Nunez versus Chelsea Chandler. Chelsea Chandler, she got a lot of shit after her last fight when she ran away from that big booty Latina dude. What's her name?
Norma Dump Truck Dumont.
Oh my God. Norma Dumont, man. She's actually very pretty too when she's all done up. I mean, look at that. You're not gonna hate it, but you got Norma Dumont who is decent. Norma Dumont is actually a quality featherweight fighter. I think they were fighting at featherweight at the time. She's moving down to bantamweight now. Josiane Nunez fought at featherweight as well. I think they're fighting at bantamweight. Am I crazy?
Yeah, they are.
Okay, because featherweight's done, right?
Yep. And Josiane's last two fights were at featherweight.
Okay, so the difference though is that I think they both have the same reach, but Josiane is 6 inches shorter. So yeah, she's only given up an inch in reach, but she is 6 inches shorter than Chael Sonnen. I mean, she looks like Chael Sonnen, right? So what do you got here between Josiane Nunez and the bad guy, Chael Sonnen?
It's like Chael Sonnen wants to be a Diaz brother, and you get Chelsea Chandler.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, it's fucking weird, dude. She's 6 inches taller, yet only has an inch of reach on her.
Not built
Kind
to
of weird. I mean, Nunez is built like a fucking orangutan. She fights like one too. But yeah, Chandler, dude, she's got solid BJJ and she's pretty strong. And I, dude, her stock is at an all-time low after she was made into a meme in her last fight. But at the end of the day, she lasted that, you know, she had a bad moment there in that fight, but that was a pretty competitive fight aside from that one moment. I think that's kind of just what everyone's going to remember from that fight, but she didn't do terrible, man. She's not that bad. I mean, she definitely has a path here, and that would be on the ground. That'd be the path of least resistance against Nunez. You know, Nunez, she's a hard hitter. She's aggressive. She's high volume, and dude, she throws everything into every punch. I've been calling her left hand Larry because then that left hand lands, man. She can put your lights out. I think she wants to turn this into a brawl, but the more aggressive you are, I think the more susceptible to getting wrestle fucked you are. You know, honestly, dude, she's so small. I'd really think I'd rather see her fighting at like 125. Like, I don't see how or why she can't make 125. Maybe she's just not a big fan of cutting weight. I get it, but I just feel like she's as strong as she is and as hard as she hits. I feel like she's too small. And, you know, this might be a bad bet, but I'm taking Chelsea Chandler to wrestle her way to a decision.
Yeah, that might be the smarter bet here on this whole thing. The reason that I am going to be on Joseann Nunez is because I was actually almost on the Chelsea side. I don't think that running away just quick like that, like she just sprinted from one side of the cage to the other, it looked bad because she just turned her back and ran, right? That looked bad. But what about like CJ Vergara versus Daniel Lacerda, where he was running? He ran probably a mile in that cage when they were fighting. It just didn't look as corny and it didn't look as bad as what Chelsea Chandler did.
I think it's because Vergara got the finish.
Yeah. He ended up winning. So, yeah, that ended up absolutely helping him.
Yeah.
I don't have confidence in these Caesar Gracie, these Gracie gyms. I don't think that they're very good anymore. I think that they're living in the past. Nick Diaz, Nate Diaz, yeah, they're legends of the game. Nate Diaz has like 1,000 losses on his record. I don't know how many fucking losses that dude has. He's got a lot of losses. It's not a practical style. It's an old school style. The Caesar Gracie, I mean, another Caesar Gracie fighter is Darius Flowers, right? Not necessarily from that same gym from Stockton, but you know, these guys, they just don't fight right. And yeah, they're tough and they're good street fighters and whatnot. Chelsea Chandler, she got, I think, knocked down a peg and she's not going to be as confident. Joseann Nunez, on the other hand, fighting really low-level competition. Who is it, Pascual? I mean, she sucks, dude. Ramona Pascual sucks. But give me this short, stocky girl that I think it's going to be kind of tough to take her down. I think that Nunez catches Chandler. And the reason that I said I got something in the mail. I had an Alexander Volkanovski card that's signed that I ordered, and it came in today, and they gave me a bonus card, and it was Joseann Nunez, dude.
No shit.
I'm like, it's a sign. It's a sign. I'm taking Nunez. I'm taking her by decision. I think she gets it done. These judges these days, too, they're really scoring damage more than control time. So, yeah, give me Nunez. It might look like Chandler wins the fight, but I think Nunez scores more damage, and that gets her the decision win.
I
So
gotta check how many times Ramona Pascal took her down because I remember her getting taken down and controlled for a little bit of that fight and being like, how is this happening to you? Let's
yeah, I
see.
mean,
Yeah, Ramona got her down 3 times.
yeah, that's not a good look. I just, like I said, I got a feeling and I'm gonna go with it.
Oh,
So
I get it, dude. Especially getting that card, that's your sign.
that's what it is, dude. Okay, so that was you. This is me, thankfully. Okay. Mike Davis versus Nathan Levy. Mike Davis is in my parlay with Coulibal. Okay. I'm taking Mike Davis. I wish he was more active. Last time he fought was a year and 5 months ago. Before that, he fought 3 years ago. This dude doesn't fight very often. But Nathan Levy, I don't think, is very good. The UFC likes him. It seems like they really love him a lot. But Mike Davis, man, I think he's just he's a physical, like just an athletic freak, and I think that he can get this done here. They're similarly aged. He's the taller guy by quite a few, 6 foot versus 5'9". They do have the same reach. I don't know. I think Mike Davis gets it done again. Just a better fighter all around. Higher level of experience, in my opinion. 10-2 versus 8-1. There's not much that you can really pick apart. But I mean, looking at even just the way that Tapology sees it, even as the way that the public sees it, the number 42 ranked lightweight in the world versus the number 77 ranked lightweight in the world, right? Like it seems like there's a significant skill gap, experience gap. And Mike Davis, I think, is just the side to be on here. He makes up the other half of my parlay with that Coulibal, like I said. And I think he probably gets it done by decision again.
Yeah, I'm with you, dude. I'm taking a step further and say he gets a knockout here. I know Levy only has one loss and he has not been finished, but I don't think he's ever faced a guy that's a KO threat the way Mike Davis is. Mike Davis, he's a bit inactive. I'm not really sure what's up with that, what injuries he's been dealing with, but regardless, he's a big dude for 155. It's 6 feet tall. He's got a lot of power. He mixes it up well. I like him, man. We haven't seen him recently. We don't see him often, but when we do, he's pretty impressive. Natan Levy's just a guy I've never really thought too highly of. And of his two UFC wins, those are both guys that since have been cut. So I don't think Levy's horrible anywhere. I don't think he's great anywhere, but I just think there's a gap between him and Davis. So I'm going to say Davis gives Levy his first knockout loss of his career. So give me Davis KO in the first round.
I like it. Davis KO round one. That's wild. Yeah, I'm going decision. I feel like maybe that's the wrong side as far as decision goes, but if he gets it done earlier, man, I hope that both my guys, Coulibal and Davis, get this done, and then Jafel is paired up with someone later on the card. But yeah, this is back to you, Gerald Meerschaert versus Brian Barberina. Kind of a this is would have been a great fight fucking 20 years ago. Interesting fight, Gerald Meerschaert. Most dangerous middleweight when it comes to finishes. I mean, he's got the most finishes in middleweight history, which is wild. You wouldn't really think that. Kind of seems like a pussy to me. But then you got Brian Barberina, who is a really kind of, in my opinion, man, I think very lowly of him. Not to, foreshadow my pick. But when he comes out to, I don't know what the song is called, like, Let's Hear It for the Boys or whatever the fuck it's called. Let's hear it. Let's hear it for my baby, whatever. I don't know what the lyrics are, but he's going out with his fucking nails painted. And yeah, your daughter's painted it. That's nice. Wash it off for your fight, you fucking weirdo. Goes out there. He's pointing at his wife. That's like a midget, basically. I really don't like Bam Bam at all. This is not the Bam Bam that I like on this card. And I want to hear what your thoughts are between like the submission dude with kind of sloppy striking. And the striker was sloppy striking. What do you think?
I think there's only room for one Bam Bam winner on this card, and I don't think it's Barberina.
Yeah, I'm right there, dude.
I mean Barberina, he's a vet. He's going into his 30th UFC fight, and Meerschaert's a vet too, going in his 20th UFC fight. But yeah, these guys are they're both not that great. And you nailed it. Barberina's a striker that's not good at striking, and Meerschaert's a grappler that's not good at striking. I mean, Barberina, at least he has the volume. He is pretty aggressive. He does slow down, but he's going to put on a fast striking pace early. But I mean, his game plan is probably going to be to go out there, try to overwhelm Meerschaert and get him out of there. But I don't see it happening, man. I mean, he doesn't have the best takedown defense. Maybe he'll stop some takedowns early, but he's not going to be stopping them late. Meerschaert on the feet, the dude's slow. He doesn't really have pop to his punches. I think against Muradov, the only thing that worked for him was his jab, which is insane that Meerschaert was jabbing someone's head off. I mean, that was the only thing that was working for him in that fight. But at the end of the day, he's a great grappler. We know where he wants this fight to go. And like most Meerschaert wins, I think he's going to get beat up for a bit and then he's going to find a submission. So I'm gonna say he gets beat up in the first round, maybe second round, starts landing some takedowns, and ultimately gets a submission in round three.
Wow. Yeah, I'm not gonna add anything to that. I'm just gonna say sub round one. I think that that's when he gets it done. I think he lands an early takedown. Brian Barberina sucks on the ground, dude. How many submission losses does this dude have? Three submission losses. Most of his losses come by decision. But you look at GM3's submission stats here. It's off the charts. I mean, 27 wins by submission, most of those coming in the UFC. So I think that there's a clear gap on the ground here. The talent on the feet is very low for both, but interesting fight. We're both on GM3. We both got him by sub. The difference is I have round one and Jared has round three. So interesting. Now, Pani Khiansad versus Macy Chiazon. Pani looks cute sometimes, but you actually see her. She's not. I mean, she looks like me in a wig, dude. It's rough. I always like to try to rate these women on their attractiveness. And I gotta go Macy Chiazon here just as far as like the talent. Now she did get an embarrassing loss. She was beating Irene Aldana, who challenged Amanda Nunes. Looked like a punch. She looked like Cheeto out there when she was fighting Amanda Nunes. She threw two strikes that entire 25 minutes. Didn't look like she belonged. But she beat Macy Chiazon. Macy Chiazon was beating Irene Aldana badly up until she took that up kick to the liver. But yeah, give me Macy Chiazon. I think the wrestling is better. I think she's better all around. She could finish Pani here, but it's a women's fight just to be safe and to try to get that extra, 100% score here. I'm going to go Macy Chiazon by decision. And I think it's probably a unanimous decision if we want to try and spice it up. But where are you at with this, Jared?
Well, I don't know if you know, but this is the rematch that everybody has been begging for. Now
No.
they fought on the Ultimate Fighter and Pani got subbed. Honestly, I don't think either of these girls are that good, and it's
What?
kind of yeah. Well, get the so I, we can agree that neither's very good. Pani's ranked number six, Macy's ranked number 10. That just shows the depth of the women's bantamweight division. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's the most competitive division in the world right now.
Yeah, I mean, this is a fight. I'm not confident in either girl. I just know these rematches usually don't go the same way, and I know Pani is a decisionator. So I'm going to side with Machine Gun Kelly to win by decision.
Yeah, he kind of does look like a
Oh, dude, that's spot on.
where's Megan Fox at? Megan Fox is Pani. These two in a Megan Fox is Pani in an alternate universe, and Macy Chiazon is Machine Gun Kelly, dude. These two are about to fight for custody of their kids or something. Okay, so you got Macy by decision, you said?
Yeah.
Okay, so I mean, dude, we agree on every single fight except for the Nunes and Chandler fight so far.
Oh, wow. Oh, I thought we disagreed on the first one. I got Ann Heliger.
Oh yeah, you're right. Okay, so we disagree on two. Yeah, Gregorio and you got the fucking soy Canadian. We'll see what happens there. Now this is great, man. I wish that I had this fight to speak on first, but this is you, dude. Christian Rodriguez versus Isaac Dolgarian. Christian Rodriguez, man, C-Rod, he's been the prospect killer lately. Now he's not weighing in correctly, and this is up at 45. C-Rod should be a 45er, but he was, his last two fights when he beat fucking what's that guy's name? Sloth from the Goonies. Raul Rosas.
Fucking roses.
And then Cameron Simon, he missed weight both times. I mean, in the Raul Rosas Jr. fight, he didn't even try to make weight. He was over by like 5 or 6 pounds. And then Cameron Simon, I think it was less dramatic, but he went out there and he took two O's from two highly propped up prospects. And you wonder if that pisses off the UFC and they're trying to give him somebody like the Midwest Choppa that's gonna, get something done here. I don't know. How do you feel about it, man?
I think Christian Rodriguez is a very, very good fighter. And yeah, dude, he's been the prospect killer. He's looked really good. I mean, he's a prospect himself. This dude is, I mean, he's solid. He's got good jiu-jitsu. Oh, I love it. Fucking love it.
I forgot about the shirt, dude. I meant to mention that earlier. Sports are rigged.
But yeah, he's got good jiu-jitsu, both offensive and defensive. The striking's good. He's durable, and he just hasn't been able to make weight, but fortunately, he's making the right move going up to 45.
I think they
But
fucked him, honestly, Jared.
they probably did, dude. Him missing weight twice in a row by as much as he's missing it by, like, you're either moving up, you can't fight here.
Well, not only missing, but like destroying two highly touted prospects. That's a problem. You know what I mean?
Yeah, dude. It made me it, like two guys they were definitely trying to build too, and he kind of fucked that up for him.
Yeah, it's bad.
And
So that's why I'm
but
curious what you think.
I get it, dude. And you know what? Isaac Delgarian, this dude is a guy that he hasn't had a lot of fight time because every fight of his has ended in the first round. But dude, him running through Francis Marshall the way he did, that was super, super impressive to me. When it comes to these, like, entry level guys in the UFC, like Francis Marshall is someone I think fairly high of. And for Dolgarian to run through him the way he did, it was really impressive. I think he's going to come out fast. He's going to come out hot. He's got the striking. He's got the wrestling. The dude's just well rounded. And as good of a fight as I think this is, I definitely think it's going to be Dolgarian's longest fight yet. But I think he wins a decision here. And even if he loses, I think they'll still give him the decision because they're a little fucking pissed at Rodriguez. So I'm going to side with Dolgarian to win a decision, and I'm pretty confident in that. As highly as I think of Christian Rodriguez, I'm pretty confident Dolgarian gets this done.
Yeah, I'm so torn on this, man, but I think that I have to agree with you. I want C-Rod to lose after what he did the last two times. It's a dirty thing to do, to go in there. You know, he knew that he wasn't going to be able to make that weight. You know that. Like he's a professional. I like his attitude, but he also kind of seems like one of these sociopathic dudes. I've heard people talk about him in the gym. He's like one of these like silent assassin type dudes. I don't think he respects his opponents, because if you're gonna come in there and you're gonna fucking miss weight, that's disrespectful. You know, Wonderboy said that, I think, really well against Michel Pereira, and that was the best thing for Michel Pereira. You know, I think Wonderboy probably would have beat Michel. And then he moves up, and now he's looking like he could potentially, dude, I wouldn't be surprised if Michel Pereira is champion at 185 by the end of 2025. You know what I mean? The dude is looking very, very unbeatable right now. And who's going to beat him? I mean, ahead of him, who is he not at least competing with? So yeah, Christian Rodriguez has been kind of fucking around a little bit, but Isaac Delgarian, in my opinion, not really proven, but a very talented fighter, man. So if this gets in around two and three, it gets a little slippery. But I think that Dolgarian does probably beat C-Rod. And I think that he probably drags this out. This is either a round three or a decision win. And I'll go Isaac Dolgarian. I'll actually go round two knockout. I think that he actually can get something done where he puts Rodriguez in a precarious position and knocks him out in round two. So we'll go Dolgarian. KO round two.
A fucking Game of Thrones name. At least
What?
it feels like it, Dolgarian.
Dolgarian? Yeah, it does sound a little weird, right?
Old Games of Throny.
Now, this is the easiest pick on the card. I don't want to spend too much time on this. Kennedy and Njejikwu versus OSP. It's Kennedy and Njejikwu by knockout, I think, round two. Maybe round one. But yeah, for me, Kennedy, KO round two. Where are you at on this one, man?
Yeah, I mean, OSP, it's definitely been real. He's washed, hasn't looked good in a while. I don't think I'd ever take Kennedy at minus 500, but he's definitely winning this fight. So Kennedy, knockout round two, same page.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, OSP used to be great, right? I mean, he
Yeah,
fought
man.
John Jones and did some fun things. This is a fun one, though. And I'll give you the main event, because we just kind of glossed over that last part. I'll give you the main event to start. Brian Battle is paired up with who the fuck is he paired up with in my second?
Angelusa.
No, he's paired up with in my second parlay. I had Kulibao and I had Mike Davis paired up together, and I also had, who the fuck did I have paired up with him? Oh, Jafal Filo was paired up with Brian Battle in my second parlay. So I'm taking Brian Battle against Ange Lusa. Brian Battle, I don't know if this guy can be knocked out in the next, couple years to come. He is such a fucking beast. He's got such a granite chin. He's 5-1 in the UFC. He's one of the few that's come off of the Ultimate Fighter that in recent years that has done really well. They do these kind of matchups every once in a while where it's Ultimate Fighter versus Contender Series. And the Contender Series fighters are kind of like universally better. I'm all in on Brian Battle here. I was kind of skeptical of him in his last fight, but he's proved over and over again that he belongs, and he is not only belonging, he's got an insane frame for this welterweight division, with the nickname Pooh Bear too, dude. I mean, you gotta give it to the guy. He's a fucking beast. He kind of does look like Winnie the Pooh a little bit, like the president of China, right?
Yeah, I
It's
can see it.
an interesting matchup, but I think it's kind of a mismatch, and I think that the line's off. I think that, and this is just me. I'm curious to see where you came at before I started talking between Ange Lusa and Brian Battle, but I think this is a mismatch. I think the line's off. I think Brian Battle is a -300 in this spot. He's a beast, man, and I'm all in on him. I don't know how he gets it done. He can get it done any way that he wants, but I'll go knockout. Knockout round one. Where are you at with this?
Man, we're widely in agreement on this card. I'm on Battle too. Lusa, he's not bad, dude. He's durable. He's pretty well rounded. I don't really think he's bad in any area. And if we can point out any weaknesses in Battle's game, you got to look at the Fakhretdinov fight. And the wrestling has to be the path to victory. And Renat Fakhretdinov is a good guy. And I know Battle got ragdolled by him, but he was still able to last, and he still had his moments in that fight. Every time he started having a moment on the feet, he ended up on his back. But these are two guys that I do think the line is off. I think Battle should be a bigger favorite here, which is, when I see a lot, when I think a guy should be like -250, -300, and I see him at -150, it's a little concerning, like wondering what the odds makers are seeing that I'm not. I mean, Lusa definitely has a path here, and it's on the ground. But Battle, the guy's good, man. Can't deny him, and he's a guy that he seems to be improving from fight to fight. And I think he definitely learned a lot from that Fakhretdinov fight, and he's looked really, really sharp since then. I have to side with Battle here, but I wouldn't be confident that he gets a finish just because I do think Lusa is pretty tough. So I'm going to take Brian Battle by decision.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Ange Lusa's wins in the UFC, they're all by decision. He hasn't finished anybody.
Yeah,
Brian Battle has that chin. Go ahead.
you see that happen a lot with these, contender series guys where they're fucking finishing people left and right on their way up, and then as soon as they get to the UFC, they stop finishing people.
Right.
Kind
And
of like a Basharat, right? Like the Basharat brother that just fought recently. I
Javid?
mean, that dude leading up to the UFC, he finished everybody, and then he gets to the UFC, and every fight goes the distance.
Yeah, well, and Javid just fucking lost, man. I mean, he lost his O because he's fighting just someone that's just been around MMA, and that's what I really like right now about the way that the judges are scoring things. It's still a little bit inconsistent, but they're ranking damage so much more than fucking control time. Whether it's against the cage or on the ground, control time doesn't win a fight; it's damage. So even if you're sitting there, and let's say you and I are fighting each other, I control you for, 4 minutes and 50 seconds, but you rock me. I'm just sitting on top of you, fucking straddling you, and you rock me when the 10 seconds that we're standing. You should win that. You know what I mean? Like, you can sit on top of me all fucking day, and that's not gonna hurt me. That's not making me want to quit. But rocking somebody or maybe, even if they drop their opponent or whatever. It's wild how this stuff used to be scored, and it seems like it's coming around a little bit. I still think that every single eye poke, every single fence grab, I think it should be called. I think that they need to implement some kind of like quarter point system or something like that, because holding isn't always intentional in football, but it gets called every fucking time, right? So it would just kind of give the sport a little bit more credibility. But
Yeah, it the same thing drives me crazy when you see these fence grabs and shit that do at times change the direction the fight's going. It's like, how many warnings do you give a guy until you, but the only option is take a point. If, and I brought it up before, I think they should implement what ONE FC has with the yellow cards and the red cards. You know, instead of doing a point system, you judge a bout in its entirety, meaning if this fight were to continue going to the death, who would probably win? You know, it's a little bit more subjective, but at least when it comes to the, you know, the point deductions and shit like that, if you have yellow cards and red cards where each yellow card is 10% of your purse, I think you're going to think twice before you grab the fence if you have the opportunity to lose money.
Yeah, well, I also think too, like that, the yellow card idea, because they also give yellow cards in one if you're not engaging enough, right?
Yeah, actually, we just saw for the first time ever. There is an Indian guy fighting in ONE, and he actually got disqualified for not engaging and being too timid. It was Herb Dean actually that disqualified him. He was done with his shit. The guy didn't want to fight. He was fighting like a bitch, and it was honestly fucking awesome.
Dude, so this is the thing, man. Like, there was an episode on Dangerous World when I was doing it, and there was this fucking, I mean, this guy that knows nothing, and he was just, we were just having a casual conversation, and this guy was trying to prop up Indian MMA, and he was a white
Oh.
guy, and I was like, man, I was trying to tell him, I was like, dude, Indians, pound for pound, that's the worst country when it comes to MMA. And he was like, dude, they have a rich history of MMA. And I was trying to tell him, it doesn't matter if they have a rich history. Maybe they do. But these fucking guys are so soft. Their whole culture is built around being soft. That's what Indians are. They're very soft, man. And it's not an insult to the people. It's just like they don't want to fight. Their whole society is built around being peaceful, right? They're not good martial artists. Maybe they were back in the BC times, but they're not anymore. And this guy was just arguing with me fucking to the death. And I'm like, man, you're never going to see an Indian champion. You're never going to
No.
see an Indian champion in any major MMA promotion because these guys are soft, man. Who was it that fought Mike Breeden?
Yeah,
Anshul
that
Jubly.
guy from Road FC, that fucking Indian dude.
Anshul Jubly.
I can't believe you remember his name. I better than me.
Because the reason that I remember his name is because I thought he was a fraud from the jump because he was trying to be a fucking motivational speaker. He's like an Indian Tony Robbins every time that he wins a fight. And I can't stand it, dude. I can't stand when these guys go out there and they win a split decision and then they're sitting there trying to give a pep talk to the fucking world and the audience in the stadium. It's whack. So yeah, there's just a weird mindset that those folks over there in India have. It's not fit for fighting. It's good at all kinds of other things, right? They're great doctors. They're great, inventors. They're very smart people, but they're not good at fighting. Let's just bury that fucking hatchet right there. That dude was fucking retarded for his take on Indian MMA. But yeah, so we're both on Brian Battle here. I have him KO one. You have Brian Battle, which method?
Decision.
You got a decision. That's interesting.
Yeah, I could think of get I could see him getting taken down, you know, maybe we drop around, we're sweating a little bit, but I think he ends up getting his hand raised.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be interesting. Angelusa has some power. Most of his wins come by knockout. But yeah, Brian Battle. I don't think anyone's fucking knocking Brian Battle out, man. So hopefully both my parlays hit. It'll be about $400, $450 if they both hit off of 200. So we'll see, man. But this is yours. This is your main event to dissect first. We got the real Bam Bam on the card. Bam Bam Tuivasa versus my Marcin. I said my Marcin Tybura. Tybura just coming off of a tough loss against Ciryl Gane, if I'm not mistaken, in France. Weird little fight. Both these guys have lost to Ciryl Gane. I would say that. Excuse me. I would say that. Tai Tuivasa kind of gave a better showing for himself against. Oh no, it was Aspinall. Excuse me. I completely just spaced out this fight.
Didn't he lose to Gon too, though?
Let's see.
Am I imagining things? I might be.
Well, if you are, I'm imagining them too.
Yeah, we're both imagining things.
So, the losses on the side of Marcin Tybura in the last couple of years come from Alexander Volkov, who Bam Bam has also lost to, and Tom Aspinall. Tom Aspinall would annihilate Bam Bam, so we can just say that they would both lose to the same guys. They essentially are, it's a very good matchup. I don't think this fight goes very long, but it's a great matchup. Tai Tuivasa's last three losses come by heavy hitters. Alexander Volkov, who he beat by, who he lost to by submission. Sergey Pavlovich, who just is a beast. And then Ciryl Gane, who is probably the most skilled heavyweight other than maybe Tom Aspinall. So good matchup here. What do you think about Tybura versus Tuivasa?
Well, we know we're gonna get with Tuivasa, man. He's a brawler. He wants to swing this thing out. He's got that one punch KO ability. And one thing that's kind of slept on about Tuivasa is he actually has some fast body kicks. For a dude his size, his leg gets up there pretty fast. His kicks to the body are fast and hard. That's something I'm actually concerned could get him into trouble. Because I do think there's a world where Tybura can make this very, very boring. And he can drag this thing out. We know Tuivasa is going to struggle off his back. He got taken down like twice by Derek Lewis. I mean, that's Tuivasa's weakness. He's not a good grappler. Tybura, he needs to get this fight against the cage and on the mat and try to grind out Tuivasa, but this is a 25-minute fight. To think Tybura can do that over the course of 25 minutes, it's pretty unlikely. I mean, Tuivasa, he's not the most skilled guy in the world, but he's always a KO threat. I can see Tybura getting him down, maybe dragging this thing out, but at the end of the day, I really think Tuivasa is going to get back in the win column and find himself a knockout in this fight. Out of the top 10, they're giving him the most beatable guy, I think. So I'm going to side with Tuivasa to find a knockout, and I'm going to say round one. Hopefully, he gets it done early and doesn't make me sweat, but. I could see a world where this thing gets dragged out and we're all rolling our eyes every time Tuivasa gets taken down.
Yeah, man, I'm so torn here, but I think we've seen this before. We've seen where there's a 5-round fighter, and there's someone that has 2 rounds in them, right? I think that was Benoit Saint-Denis versus Dustin Poirier, much obviously very different weight class. It's about 110 pounds separating these guys, but you see this over and over again. You see it with the last heavyweight fight. Right, Gaziev versus fucking my boy Rosenstrike, who I just got the card for. Shout out Rosenstrike, dude. Shout out this motherfucker because he helped me out. I gotta go Tybura, man. Just the more complete mixed martial artist, more experience. Tai Tuivasa, he's got businesses all over the place. He's got the Drink West. He's got the Shuivasa. He's got all these things. This guy's making money. It's almost like an OnlyFans fade for me, where he's not on OnlyFans because this guy doesn't have the fucking body for OnlyFans. God forbid he ever gets on OnlyFans. But he's doing things. He's not, he knows, he's got to know. Unless he, I mean, he seems like a smart guy. He's got to know that he doesn't have a long future here in the UFC. I think he can lose this fight. And he can still be in the UFC. It's tough to see this guy, you know, beating Derek Lewis on a fight that he took. He admitted that he took this fight when he was drunk. He saw his manager reached out to him and he was like, Derek Lewis wants to fight you. And he was drunk and he was like, oh, I'll fuck him up. And he accepted. He signed the contract when he was
Yeah, he
fucked.
knocked him out.
He did knock him out. But this guy has gotten progressively more and more out of shape between fights. You know how we see these young fighters and they're like they're progressing wildly in between fights? I think he peaked. He peaked right here when he fought Derek Lewis. He was fighting constantly, 2 years and 2 months, 2 years, and then 1 year and 6 months, 1 year and 3 months. He's fighting every 3 months. Now he's taking a break. He's focusing on his businesses, in my opinion. And I think that he knows that he is on his way out of the UFC. He can still go and he can fight for PFL. I mean, give this guy a heavyweight, level at or a heavyweight fights at PFL. He can still make some money. I don't see him getting a win here. I used to be a huge fan. I think that the guy doesn't take it very serious, man. So give me Marcin Tybura. It could come by decision, but I don't think that that Tuivasa lasts that long. I think that he's dead after two rounds, and I think that Tybura could get a knockout in round three or four. Give me Marcin Tybura a knockout round three. I'll take that all day.
Hey,
And
you gave me a lot to think about here. You think Tuivasa kind of got a foot out the door, huh?
that's just what I think, man. I don't have any proof. You know what I
No,
mean?
I know that, but I mean, you definitely gave me some shit to consider. I mean, that you bring up some real good points.
That's just where I see it. I know Tybura, like, what the fuck does he have going on outside of this? He's a Polish dude. These Australians, they've been struggling lately, man. You know, the fucking Volkanovski, he's no longer, like, people are going to start saying that he's washed up, even though he's still the greatest featherweight of all time, in my opinion. Better than Jose Aldo, I think.
The last two Australians to fight both win, Ursag and JDM.
Yeah, but I mean, before that, those guys are much lower level. I mean, JDM, he's rising through the ranks, but you think Tyson Pedro just retired, right?
Oh yeah, I forgot about him.
And then Volkanovski just fucking humiliating losses back to back. He cries. And he's one of these guys that cries when he loses too. So I don't know. Maybe it's a 50-50 thing, but I just can't. I can't, like, when it's your job, dude. Like, this dude looks like he's melting, Tai Tuivasa. You know what I mean? When it's your job to, like, be out there and be physically fit and be able to go 25 minutes or even 15 minutes, how many decision wins does Tai Tuivasa have?
I don't think any. Maybe one.
He's gone 1-1 to the decision. And I guarantee this is before he was in the UFC, man. This is probably really low level where there was just two fat dudes, probably two fat Samoans in Australia. Yeah.
Was Arlovsky.
Wow. No, it was Blagoy Ivanov.
No, that was the loss by decision. His win by decision was Arlovsky.
Okay.
The goat.
I mean, yeah, Arlovski is kind of a beast still, but I don't know, man. You know, it's tough. I've counted Tai Tuivasa out on basically all of his fights. I thought that Greg Hardy was going to beat him. I did bet on him against Sakai. I bet on him against Lewis, surprisingly. I bet on him against Gon as well. And when he dropped Gon in round two, I was fucking just losing my mind. But I bet on him against Pavlovich. So I'm just done betting on him, basically. He's lost me some money. I'm not going to put any money on him anymore. I think he's done. So that's my thought. Tybura KO round three. Give it to me, Marcin. I'll buy one of your cards too if you do this, dude. So, drink West. We'll see what happens.
So, do you buy these cards individually or do you get like the packs?
No, so lately, dude, I have so many cards about, like, I've got, like, G.I. Joe cards. I've got Garbage Pail Kid cards. I've
Oh
got.
my God, he's fucking taking me back with that.
Dude, I love old shit. I told you I've been buying, like, Ninja Turtles, like 90s Ninja Turtles and shit. I've. Toy collections and shit. Like, I love, like, collecting shit. I'm trying to set up my little studio so, like, instead of this backdrop that you're seeing, you'll see, like, cool shit. Like, right over there, you can see on top of that case, there's Hot Wheels yo-yos in the box still. You know what I mean? So, like, I got some shit. But
That's dope, dude.
I'm trying to just build, like, a cool office because I work from home now. So I'm trying to, like, set up a cool little space. Like, right here, I got, like, shirts that I designed hanging up on the wall and shit like that. But I want to just make the whole space real cool. And then I want to try and get, like, a camera far away so that the audience can, like, see shit. You know what I mean? And we can put it on YouTube and it'll be fun. But the cards that I've been getting, I just go on eBay and I find shit that I like, man. And it's usually fighters that win me some cash. I'll go in there, I'll buy their card. I need to get a Dustin Poirier card, but his cards are expensive right now.
Oh, I'm sure. Do you
So,
ever so do you ever get the packages like the Prism ones or whatever they're doing?
yeah.
Now, do those come with autograph cards in it, or do they just fucking cards?
Yeah. So I got out of the ones that I have a Cowboy Cerrone card that I found in a pack, a blaster pack. I found a Korean Zombie card. I found a Bilal Muhammad card. I'm not a fan of Bilal Muhammad, but it's a good card to have.
Don't think anyone is.
Yeah, but it's still a good card to have. He's probably going to be champion one day.
Agreed.
And then I got a Jessica Andrade. I got Korean Zombie. I got Muhammad. What else did I get? I think that's it as far as cards that I've actually gotten from packs. But yeah, dude, I just go out there and like you can find some of these fucking cards for like $3 fucking, dude. I got a
That's
Chris
wild.
Gutierrez card for like $2 signed. And then
Really?
Paul Craig patch and signed card for $15. You know what I mean? It's just fun, dude. Like I'm gonna be a lifelong fan from here on out. So I'm just like, yeah, I want to build up a collection of
Hell
cards.
yeah. I was thinking about getting some of the one FC sign shit just while they're not popular because it's fucking dirt cheap, dude. You can get a stamped Fairtex signed glove with the like the authentication shit for fucking like $50. And she's a fucking three division champion.
That's a no-brainer, dude. Buy that shit.
Like that's fucking crazy.
That's more than probably most, that's worth more than probably most of the shit that I have as far as that goes. You know what I mean?
It's wild, dude.
I have a Tom Aspinall card as well, and I think that's going to end up being the most valuable card that I have right now.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, dude, like I got a jumbo Jeff Neal patch. I love Jeff Neal. He's the one of the dudes that got me into betting along with Jamal Hill. So it's like, you know, it's just like you buy shit that's like significant to you.
So you're like me, you buy shit because you like it. Alex is always fucking, when all these autographs I got here, Alex is all fucking pissed that they have my name on them.
Yeah,
Like
dude.
two Jerry's like, you can sell them. I don't want to sell them. They're for me. I like this shit. I don't want to sell it.
Yeah, no, there's something to be said about just like being surrounded by shit that you like. And it's cool, man. Like I said, the fucking Ninja Turtles, it's stupid. It's like borderline autistic as a 33-year-old man to be buying Ninja Turtles from the 90s, but it's fun, dude. It's just fucking shit that I like to do. So
Yeah, fuck them.
yeah, so it is what it is. But let's get into the picks, like the parlays, the whale bets, all these things. Give me your whale bet. Give me your steamers. What do you got?
Right, I got this week I got one whale bet, one steamer. The next one FC card isn't until April 5th, but I got a big bet for that card. But for this card, the whale bet, we're going McKenna and Coulibal. Those two together is +175. That's going to be my whale bet. That'll be my biggest bet of the night. And we got a four-teamer steamer at +500. We got Dolgarian, Davis, Battle, and Tuivasa.
Okay. So you got Dolgarian, Davis, Battle, and Tuivasa.
Yeah, that's what I got for right now. I mean, I'm sure I'll have a couple other bets out there if I end up talking to myself any dogs. Talk myself into any dogs, maybe I'll have a couple straight bets. But as of right now, that's a whale, that's a steamer, and I feel pretty decent about both of them. I'd say my least confident one on there is probably Tuivasa.
Yeah. I mentioned my two parlays earlier throughout the night. I have Coulibal and Mike Davis paired up together, and then I have Jafal Filho and Brian Battle paired up together. So those are both 5-unit plays for me. One is +104. The +104 is the Coulibal and Davis, and then the other one is +149, and that's Jafal Filho and Brian Battle. Because you know that Brian Battle Angelusa fight is lined really closely. I think that with that one thing that we should mention before we get out of here, what do you think if you're trying to set up some kind of, you know, DraftKings fantasy lineups, who do you think are the strongest plays on this card? Because there's a few matchups that could be interesting. Now we don't have the lines right now, but we do have you know, just the fighters. Like if everyone was marked even, who are
So,
you taking?
last week being the first time I did fantasy, I got to see what you were talking about as far as how much they value control time.
Right.
So, when I made mine last week, I and they tell you too, like they score knockdowns very highly, And
Oh yeah.
so I was trying to pick people I would think had a lot of control time, and then like Rebellis to Spain. When he got that knockout in like under fucking 20 seconds, I was like, oh, is that not gonna do good on fantasy? But
Oh
it
no.
paid fucking awesome on
Yeah.
fantasy.
Okay, so real quick before you go on, a finish in the first round, I think, is 30 points, and a finish in the first minute is an additional 25 points. So
Okay.
you get the finish, which is a certain amount of points, you get a
Right.
quick finish, and then you get the first round finish. So ideally, if you were to pick people, all your people are getting 1 minute, sub 1 minute knockouts, or they're getting heavy grappling fights, and they finish the fight in the third round after controlling the fight like the whole time. So realistically, like what you're trying to get, you're trying to get six finishers in
Right.
big tournaments.
Well, even Almabayev, I mean, he went the distance, but him racking up the control time, he still paid good on fantasy.
Sure. So yeah,
So,
six wins is what you
yeah, so I think for a fantasy lineup, Thiago Moises has to be on it. You know, just as far as one, he has a finishing ability, and two, even if he doesn't finish, I imagine he's going to have a ton of control time if he doesn't get a finish. I think Levy's going to get knocked out, so I'm probably going to throw Mike Davis on mine. Isaac Dolgarian, the dude hasn't had a fight go past the first round, and I do think this is going to be his longest fight because I think pretty highly of Rodriguez, but I got to throw Dolgarian on there just because of the finishing ability. I mean, low hanging fruit, you probably got to throw Kennedy on there, assuming he can finish OSP quick. And shit, what's that, four? How many is it? Like five or six in the lineup?
Yes, six, but so you're probably not going to be able to play all of those guys. I'm just saying
Right, because they have
one.
that salary cap shit.
Yeah, just the ones that you think should be included. I think that Nunez or Chandler should be on some of these. And
Right.
like every once in a while you need one of these women on there. And the way that I've heard it broken down is like go against your gut. Like the ones like anytime you see the optimal lineup, it's like the most wild shit ever. And the reason why I'll always hate fucking what's his fucking name? Grant Dawson. When he fought Bobby, I'm sorry,
Bobby Green got dusted in fucking no time.
he got knocked out in 2 seconds. I had this throwaway lineup that I fucking created, and the reason that I'll always fucking hate this motherfucker, Grant Dawson, out of you know how like they'll show these different lineups where it's like you put in $5 or $8 and you can first place wins $10,000 fucking dollars.
Yep.
Going into that main event, I shit you not, dude, I was fucking the only person that was ranked number one, and all I needed was Grant Dawson to win. Now maybe I wouldn't have gotten the $10,000 because I guarantee you there's a lot of people that played Grant Dawson and Bobby Green. So maybe I would have dropped down to like having $1,000 or something. But going into that fight, I was ranked number one, solid, like just by myself. And this dude goes out there and gets starched. And it was fucking horrible. It was the worst fucking thing that's ever happened to me when it comes to betting. Cause I'm sitting there, I was being quiet because my girlfriend was sitting out here too. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, heading into the co-main, I'm sitting in second place, third place, and I have $1,000. And I'm like, okay, I just need my guy to win this. And I'm sitting really good for the main event because Grant Dawson's surely going to win this. He's going to grapple fuck this dude and score fucking 120 points by just laying on top of him for 25 minutes. Goes in there. I'm sitting in first place, dude. And then this guy fucking gets knocked out in 2 seconds. So I go from potentially getting $10,000 to not even being ranked. It was
Oh, wow. It was that big of a drop, huh?
huge. So I think a lot of people had both fighters, but you just got to imagine that I would have at least gotten $1,000 that day.
Right? And I mean, Grant Dawson being what he was like minus 500, minus 600 going into that fight. How could you not feel confident with that as your fucking last guy on it?
Yeah, I felt really good, but I was still just being quiet. I was saying nothing about it. And then at the end of the night, I just went to bed. I was like, fuck, man. It's the worst. So, but yeah, dude, if I would have had Bobby Green in that spot, that's the thing. Like the lineups that are on the optimal lineup don't make any sense. Even the night when who was the guy that lost to Bo Nickel, the short black dude?
Oh, Val Woodburn.
Val Woodburn. He was on the optimal lineup when he fought against Obon Elliott, and he lost, but he was on the optimal lineup because of his price versus how much he cashed.
Wow.
So you'll never win any of this big amount of money when you just have one lineup, it seems like. So just throw a few things at the wall, and pick like one of the lineups should just be random fucking fighters. And don't be afraid to leave some salary on the table so you
You
don't
know,
have to lose all your salary.
I only did one lineup last week just because I wasn't sure how it worked. But I mean, first lineup, and I was, just under 30th place. I was like, oh shit, all right, now I gotta dedicate like $25 to throw it in these lineups next week.
Exactly, man. Dude, that's the way to go. A lot of people don't really focus on that because there's not that many shows that talk about it. And it's all just there. Like, a lot of people do it, and I think that there's probably better places to play it over DraftKings, but just to get your feet wet and just to get used to it, you can fuck around on DraftKings and have some fun. But yeah, man, I'll tell you, it's a rush, dude. When you're in top five and there's like two of your picks are left, it's like, holy fuck.
Dude, I was holding first place for a little bit and I was feeling like really fucking good. And then I saw like just about everyone that was ahead of me or behind me still had Poirier and everyone seemed to have Cheeto. But just everyone around me having Poirier, I was like, damn, I'm not gonna hold this first place.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like I said, when you do a couple lineups, do half of them like the way that you think it's gonna go, and the other half just do random shit. And like I
Yeah,
said, don't
I'm.
be
You know
afraid to
what? I'm going to
leave.
do one with Ty Vera at the end.
Yeah, and don't be afraid to leave like $1,000 or more in salary on the table, because like those are the fucking ones that win, man. Because it goes based off of the points that they scored versus what they were worth. So it's yeah, it's a wild little game, and it's a fucking rush when you're looking good towards the end of the night, and you're like,
Dude, it's
oh,
fun. I
can I
like
make a
it
few
because
thousand here?
it's not like a parlay, after someone loses and you're done with it. It's still fun. You can I had Almeida, although I bet on Curtis Blaydes, I had Almeida in my fantasy lineup. And even though he lost and got finished, he still put up some points just because of the nine takedowns he had.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is. And then also that underdog fantasy. Maybe we can get into that in a future few episodes, but that's a fun time too, man. Who's gonna land more strikes? All that shit.
I
It's
gotta fucking drive 5 minutes to even download the app because I'm just across a border. They have it in every state surrounding me besides the one I moved to.
Oh, it'll get there. It'll get there. But yeah, man, fun episode. Mediocre card, but it's still a fight night card. It's high quality fights, even though these are not the most exciting matchups on paper. And I think next week you've got what is that? Is that Namajunas versus Hibas?
Yes, I believe that's next week.
That's a pretty good card for an Apex card. So there's some fun fights, man. Like we'll make some money here. But anything that you want to plug before we get out of here?
Just T pics on Instagram, shoot me a follow, send me a message, let's talk some fights.
Oh yeah. Yeah, follow this guy, man. He gives all of his information out for free. He'll DM you everything that you want to know when it comes to what he's betting. Am I wrong? Do
Yeah,
you
I had a handful of people fucking hit me up last week and everyone is happy and including Archie Colgan, I don't know if Bellator fighter, I don't know if you know him,
No,
but
that's
he
cool though.
yeah he had DM'd me on there and he was happy. I mean, I'd send everyone, if you hit me up, I send you what I'm betting, and I always be clear, if you're gonna tell anything, make sure it's the whale bet because the whale bet's been on fire lately and that's our saving grace. I allow my we can do these fun parlays or those $10 bets on Pereira by sub and first round, shit like that. We can do those because as long as I feel good about that whale bet, that'll cover all the bullshit,
Well, let me ask you, if I have this Davis versus Davis and Coulibal. I have that. Do you think that I should switch that to McKenna and Coulibal, or do you think that maybe I should just add that in?
Whenever I'm looking at a parlay and someone says, should I add this? I'd never advise adding something,
No, no, no.
adding more risk.
I'm sorry, I phrased that wrong. So Davis and Coulibal parlayed up.
Okay.
Can I cancel that and add
No.
in? So cancel, and in lieu of that, take McKenna and Coulibal instead of Davis and Coulibal.
I mean, McKenna and Coulibal is my whale bet, but I don't see anything wrong with the way you have it right now. You put that bet in for a reason because you're confident in it. I think it's a good bet. I think you should keep it.
Okay, so I'm going to add a separate one then. I'm going to do McKenna and Coulibal because I do want to tail that whale bet. I think that, every time it seems like it's been hitting. And the odds for this McKenna and Coulibal bet are almost double of what my Davis and Coulibal bet is. So if you're confident on it, it's higher odds. I mean, I can double my money instead of just getting 1.5% of my money back. So yeah, I think it's something that people need to think about, man. Teat picks. Let's do it. So thank you, man, for hopping on. Alex, I wish that you were here, man. Next week, you gotta hop on. It's bad luck for Alex when he doesn't join the show, by the way. Alex,
Yep, hope you lose your next fucking five all-ins, Alex.
well, Alex is going to lose his. He's gonna have a non-profitable week because he wasn't on the show. It's happened every single time that he hasn't joined. So, Alex, it's bad for your health to not be on the show. So we'll be back next week. Alex will be here after he loses. And we'll all be together and we'll have a good time. But until next time, guys, enjoy Vegas 88. And then 300's coming up quicker than we know it. So it'll be a good time. Make some good food, have some fun, good luck on the bets, and we'll see you next week.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.